Hello, good evening, and welcome. I'm Lawrence, the host of the Unpaid Programming Podcast.
I'm John, the real host of the Unpaid Programming Podcast. I just use the fat guy as a front.
John, I think you're forgetting that the only person anyone listens to this show for is me, Jeff.
What about Timmy?
Tim's not here. Tim's in Thailand.
Are we going to do this or not?
Right. So since Timmy's in Thailand, we have an opening that needs to be filled.
So if you'd like to attend a taping of the Unpaid Programming Podcast, you can send us a letter or a self-addressed stamped envelope to Canyon Studios 6A.
Or you can drop us an email at unpaidprogrammingpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @unpaid_program. You can also send any of our individual Twitter accounts DMs letting us know you'd like to attend.
Except me. Don't contact me.
We're looking forward to hearing from you.
I'm not.
We hope you can join us soon.
I don't.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Unpaid Programming Podcast. I'm Lawrence, joined as always by John and Jeff. Unfortunately, Timmy's in Thailand, as you heard earlier.
With the lady boys.
With the lady boys.
And we haven't done the Skype thing yet.
That's true.
Because we need more headphones.
Joining us, though, is our friend Mike. So say hi to the folks listening, Mike.
Hello, folks listening, and thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you, Lawrence. It's great to be here.
Well, Stan Guy, love the show.
I just flew in from Milwaukee, let me tell you. So, Mike, you're back here. You grew up around here in Somerset County.
It's not exactly around here. This is at least resembling civilization. Well, but yes, I grew up in Somerset County.
And you're recently back in the area from D.C., is that right?
That is correct, yes. My now wife and I, my wife's actually from Canonsburg, and I'm originally from Somerset, but we moved to D.C. 8 years ago and have recently returned.
Well, there you go.
All right, now that the Mike interview is over.
Yeah, well, I mean...
That's all I got. That's really all I have to offer.
Now, we knew Mike back in the... And Mike's actually another close friend of Timmy's.
Oh, please don't tell a story about how you met Mike.
No, I'm not telling a story. I'm just explaining his role in the whole thing. But we, since he moved back, we were very happy to have him on.
Yes, we are.
But the one thing I did want to ask you is...
And okay, it puts that fourth mic to use.
Well, yeah, exactly. $25.
We don't waste the money in this house.
But the one thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, kind of like a life in D.C. thing, because we had everybody over at the house over the last weekend, and the one thing that you had said was, we don't get this in D.C. Because we had a big party. One of our top five parties, I would say.
Oh, yeah, it was a great party.
It was a rager, man.
Yeah, but and then that was Mike. He said, we don't get this in D.C. I had kind of prodded about what that meant, but I think if you want to go ahead and elaborate.
Oh, yes. I think we got sidetracked by the fact that it was a raging party. So, you know, other people were conversing. I don't know. I always say that, you know, I actually did enjoy my time living in Washington, D.C. It was a great city. There was a lot of good things to learn, but...
And statues.
Yeah, some of the statues and monuments and things.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, we never actually went in. You don't go into D.C. if you live in D.C. It's like New York. You don't, you know, you don't drive in
New York.
You don't
hang out in Times Square.
Right. Nobody has a car. If
and
you
pay
you
know. The fake so you're not pictures.
You're not going to the Capitol building every day and just...
Oh, well, no, we did do that. But that's just,
pictures like a loser.
That's just running up and down the stairs and doing Rocky Mountain.
Someone asks you where you're from, you're like, oh, I just live outside the city.
Yeah, actually, I'm actually from here, but... nobody in D.C. is from D.C., which is... kind of nice, actually. You get to meet people from other parts of the world. But no, and when John and I were having this conversation, I think what I was getting at was there's always like this line that no one ever crossed. I mean, people were friendly, people were very nice, people were welcoming and culturally aware and woke and all this shit. But
they weren't your friends.
But they weren't really your friends. Yeah, I mean they were friendly,
interesting.
But you never actually.
I've heard it's like that in California, like out west, and it's like Southern California, where everyone acts all nice, but they aren't really your friends.
Yeah. You never actually truly feel welcomed.
Like, if you were like, hey, can you come over and help me move a couch? They'd be like, ah.
So it's almost like each social interaction is kind of like a job interview almost?
Yeah. Very, very pressured to meet some kind of standard. So
kind of like appearing on the show.
Yeah, kind of like appearing on the show. Yeah. Now, thankfully, I meet a very high standard already. You know,
true. So. But the good news is that you get to come back, and within 2 weeks of living here, you're already on a better podcast than your friend Jeremy.
Oh my God, Jeremy. He's a ginger, yes.
Should we plug him?
We're really going to bury another podcast on the show.
No, plug him now after you said it, ours was better. You're going to
you tear him down and build him back up. I never actually listened to it. Like,
so this is the terrible show. No, let's not mention it.
No, he's a fine young man. He's a fine young man who's older than I am, so he's a fine old man who's balding. But yes, no, he's great.
Am I. I can't.
Yeah, but he has red hair.
I like to pretend I'm not, but I am.
Oh, you finally admitted to it.
I admitted to it a long time ago.
Why don't you do what I did? Get the no guard buzz.
Nope, I'm not doing that yet.
Your life will improve immediately.
I'm not at that point. I can still sort of make it not as obvious, kind of.
You got to get to the point where you can do the comb over before you.
That's the thing. I think I just grow my hair long, and then that way I can just sort of.
You're gonna do the zero mostel, you know, with the strands of your hair out in your face.
Hey, there have been some great comb overs in history.
That's true. Homer Simpson, for instance.
The president? That's a high-dollar comb-over.
That is quite the comb-over.
I showed you guys the picture of Donald Trump with his hair combed back.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked totally normal.
He looked better.
He looked a lot better. He looked kind of like Martin Sheen. He had like a little bit of a Martin Sheen look to him.
Yeah.
Canadian. Wait, no, I'm thinking of. Never mind. Wrong.
Martin Short.
Wrong. Yeah, Martin Short. Martin Sheen,
He's Canadian. But how come nobody? I think the reason why he doesn't roll with that is because, you know, Donald Trump. This is one of the reasons why he won.
It's his brand.
He's a master of television. He's a master of marketing, and his hair is his thing.
It's go. Look
nobody
at
else
the,
has it.
Well, look at the Bob Ross painting products that he put his name on. They all have a little silhouette of Bob Ross with the big fro
that he hated.
So, yeah, they hated it. Imagine if he cut it down, then people were just like,
he wouldn't be Bob
there
Ross
goes his brand.
Anymore.
Yeah,
I've seen
some
part picture. Of his brand.
Some dumb guy painting.
Yeah,
sorry, Bob Ross. God rest your soul.
I've seen a picture of him from his military days, and he looks like Tommy Lee Jones without the afro.
Well, careful there,
military style haircut.
Actually, see, you're already fitting right in because we do Bob Ross on this show probably about every other episode, in some capacity or another.
But Bob Ross and another, God rest his soul, the late great Mr. Fred Rogers.
He gets a lot of attention on this show.
Two people that I forget that I miss having intimate familiarity with.
Well, on television anyway.
On television. Yeah.
Well, they still play Mr. Rogers on WQED?
They do not.
No, they don't.
That is a damn shame.
But what his company did was they put every episode of Mr. Rogers on YouTube now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so every once in a while, I like to circle back and kind of...
Well, that's what kids are watching now anyway.
It's funny is...
In 3 minutes snippets.
Kids aren't watching public television anymore, damn it.
They're not watching television, period.
That's true.
They all want to be YouTubers
I don't even
now.
Watch television.
Well, yeah. So, but... Getting on to Mr. Rogers, I was talking to Laura, and she told me about the misadventure that she had making a pretzel. And
one
I said,
pretzel?
Oh. Yeah, she was trying to make pretzels, and she screwed it up.
Oh, excuse me. It sounded like she just made one pretzel.
I don't know how many.
I screwed up the egg, Walsh, I did!
She mixed. What is that sound?
Please, it's Mom calling.
Oh. So,
and we're back.
We're back.
Rude interruption by our mother.
How dare you?
Mom, fuck, we're doing a podcast.
We're busy, Mom. So,
actually, I try to keep that away from her because, you know, the Unpaid Programming Podcast contains adult language and adult situations. So,
yes. Your discretion is advised.
Things that we don't want mothers to hear.
Yeah.
My mother listens.
And I've always suspected that, like, our version of humor, I believe there's that side to them, but they never let it out in front of us. That's kind of my thought.
I don't know. We were talking about something else, though. We were talking about public television and how disappointed we are in the children who are no longer watching, you know, Charlie Rose and shows like
that. Well, I mean, yeah.
To be fair, adults aren't watching him anymore either.
Well, no one's allowed to watch him. He's been canceled.
Exactly. We've had this discussion. But I actually found getting back to the point I was talking about was Laura was trying to learn how to make pretzels.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Laura soft pretzels.
Laura wanted to make one pretzel.
Yes.
So she mixed a tablespoon of flour.
Well, anyway, I found a thing. I happened to see an episode of Mr. Rogers where he was learning to make pretzels.
Okay.
And the fellow that he was learning from spoke just like him.
Was it Chef Brockett?
No, it wasn't Chef Brockett.
Why wouldn't he go to Chef Brockett?
I don't know.
Because Chef Brockett wasn't he part of the land of make-believe?
No, he was part of the neighborhood.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember.
Okay, Fred, here's what we're going to do. I'm also learning how to sing, Fred. I see with French toast, most people like a lot of milk, but I only like a little bit of milk. Just a splash.
But no, he went to some pretzel shop where the guy was making pretzels, and the dude spoke in the same tone and inflections as Fred, and it was so bizarre.
Okay, here's what we're going to do.
And like he's like
knead our dough for a little while.
Kind of. This
how
is
long
I
are
swear
you
to God.
Knead your dough?
Just well, long Fred, enough. It's not. It's like there was a joke about pretzels. I see you're gaining a little bit of weight, Fred. He's like, well, I will gain some weight if I eat all these pretzels. and then the guy's like, oh, no, pretzels are not fattening. I'm like, what?
Oh, bread makes you fat.
I was like, that is a lie.
Did you know?
You're lying to the children.
Did you know that pretzels are fatty?
Well, you got to remember something. I mean, back in so we're talking, but most of the episodes of Mr. Rogers that were played that we watched were probably from the 80s and 70s.
Yeah, this one was from the 80s, definitely. Yeah.
Pretzels were probably a food group back then, actually.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the food pyramid had grain as the biggest goddamn part of it.
Yeah, you need to... It wasn't until Obama came around and Michelle flipped the food pyramid, and turns out everyone...
Yeah, it tells you to eat a loaf of bread a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, back then, pretzels were not considered fattening foods.
Because they were baked and chips were fried.
Because they didn't have fat. Because that's the way that worked back then. Fat makes you fat.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know that fat is actually kind of good for you,
mm-hmm.
like real fats.
Well, it was the big sugar lobby. This has been declassified. That actually had a stranglehold the United States government and the food pyramid.
Actually, it was. It was the USDA trying to prop up the wheat people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wheat farmers in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
That's your deep state conspiracy, folks.
Right.
Yeah.
But then corn took over. Corn took over. So it was all high fructose corn syrup. Anything with, you know, corn in it, now that's what you're supposed to eat.
Speaking of high fructose corn syrup.
Lawrence is drinking a high fructose corn syrup rich Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Is that what they... Oh, that's right, yeah, because they advertise the special ones. They're made with cane sugar.
That's the Mexican Coke.
Yeah.
I like that shit better.
Brought to you by Ty Cobb.
Now, yeah. Mike, to explain who Lawrence is talking about, his lady friend Laura.
Okay.
Now, I know what you're thinking. She does actually exist.
Yes, we've all met her.
We've all met her. She's delightful.
She's been here.
As somebody who's been the imaginary friend for the last 8 years, I understand.
Oh, yeah. You were kind of our Bob Sacamano. My friend, Schnepp. My buddy,
yeah,
Schnepp.
Yeah, it was a guy I worked with, his buddy.
Every time my name was mentioned, I itched a little bit. That may have been the product of something else, too. I don't know. But
you keep mentioning his name. I've never seen this guy. Well, he doesn't...
Yeah, so...
So Laura was making pretzels.
Yeah. And this video taught her how to make pretzels, but...
The Mr. Rogers video?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So there was a recipe on Mr. Rogers for pretzels?
Yeah, they actually showed... Well, the guy physically made it. He taught Fred how to make it. And,
So was she successful afterwards?
It was only, like, two days ago.
We got Laura on the phone. Laura! I'm just kidding.
Laura, wake up.
Yeah, well, anyway, but...
Now, I have another reason that I'm disappointed in children.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could go on a rant about this.
Halloween, all right?
Yeah.
Because of the bad weather, a lot of communities were pushing theirs to Saturday because the poor little kids, they can't go outside.
The children, they're going to be in the rain.
But not here. It was still on Thursday. The weather was not great. It wasn't super rainy. It was just kind of windy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And... We got 10 kids came
Ooh.
To the house. 10.
Ooh.
So I am disappointed. Because I remember being a kid, and Halloween, I don't know what year it was,
95. When it snowed?
Yes.
Yes, 95.
Yes.
1995.
Trudging through the snow.
What a Halloween that was.
On the streets of Bethel Park, where there are no sidewalks. Just trick-or-treating, because that was the one day a year that you could get a whole shitload of candy. There could be lava flowing through the streets, and I'd still be out there. Well, yeah, that's what nothing we did. Was going to stop us from getting our candy. And I remember it raining, like just pouring down rain when we were out there.
I don't remember ever pouring down rain.
I do.
And we've spent all of our Halloweens in Bethel Park, where our grandma lived, for two reasons. Number one, she liked having all the kids come over to see their costumes. No, look at you, Jeff. Where are you supposed to be? And the other one, the houses are close together. Now, you grew up rural. We grew up, I would call it semi-rural.
I always called it semi-rural.
Yeah, rural. I knew that, yeah.
And so, yeah, you've seen it. Yeah, it's kind of like you have to get driven around.
Right.
Exurban.
And you don't trick or treat there because even though the speed limits on the roads are 35, everybody goes 55.
And there's also long driveways. It's just so inefficient. And so anytime that I
terrible for trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And I hear people that live in a good trick-or-treat neighborhood complaining about all these kids coming in from out town. Like, they don't have any other choice. They got nowhere else to go. Stop complaining. Hand out candy.
What are you supposed to do? Spend the whole night walking around and you hit eight houses.
I remember when was growing up, the people in Mon City used to complain. Monongahela, sorry. The people in Monongahela used to complain about it. These kids coming in. I don't know any of these kids. Well, fuck.
So what?
Where's the fucking town?
I don't know the kids in my neighborhood.
But how do you know so many kids in your neighborhood that you know which ones don't belong, which ones that came from somewhere else?
Well, yeah, so why? Because they're colored, that's why.
Unless it's like...
We don't take kindly to your type in these parts.
The creepy guy going, I don't remember having you over to my house.
But yeah, so my trick-or-treating... is usually the same day I have the party, which is the Saturday before Halloween, where West Newton, where I live, has their Halloween parade. And then immediately following the Halloween parade until 5 p.m. is trick-or-treating, which daylight trick-or-treating to me, I find
it's lame.
Yeah, I never
liked
that.
Yeah, that's insulting.
It's lame as hell, dude.
And the other thing is my wife works nights, and so she sleeps during the day. And so if I got people knocking on my door, the dog's going to go apeshit. And then, well, there's a day's worth of sleep gone for my wife, and then she's cranky for whenever people come over. So what I did this year was I put a bowl out that said, please take a few, happy Halloween. Because if you remember, sometimes people would leave bowls out and say, take one!
Only one!
Only one! And what happens when the sign says, take one? Somebody's going to come along and dump the bowl out into their bag and leave you with
some
shit.
That's what people like to post online now. After Halloween is the videos of people dumping the whole bowl into their bag, because now everybody has a camera on the outside of their house. You're always on camera now.
Oh, yeah.
So now, wherever you are, don't ever do anything shitty.
We're talking about like the doorbell cameras and shit like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I did was I just take a few. You know what the kids did? They took a few.
And sometimes it's an adult. And you don't see any kids around. And it's just some grown-up.
I've got pre-diabetes. They won't let me buy candy no
this
more.
This is cheaper than the Walmart. Yeah.
See, what I would do is I would go and grab the bowl and just put it outside of my door.
So you grew up in basically the middle of nowhere, Mikey.
Yeah.
So how did you get by on Halloween?
We did not trick-or-treat. Yeah, that's
never. You missed
never,
out.
Not once. No,
are you serious? Are you a Jehovah's Witness?
Maybe. I don't really know. Actually,
my wife was forbidden because she grew up in a super religious household.
Yeah. She was like Pentecostal, right?
And so they got egged a lot.
They deserved it.
Yeah, serves them right.
Well, and her mom used to hand out pamphlets.
That's asking for it. Yeah, that's an egging right there.
But here's the thing about like Pentecostal, you know, super. I don't know what they call it now.
Religious
right.
Evangelicalism.
Evangelicals. Yeah.
Yeah.
They put on it, from what I've heard, the greatest haunted houses of all time. Because
they scare you into not having sex.
Yes.
Like that episode of King of the Hill.
They show you pictures of, like, syphilitic cocks.
Yeah. And actually...
Wordy vaginas.
I'll tell you off air about how far that shit went. Because it involves...
Some people were into that.
It involves some people.
Hey, you're not wrong. There are those people that go around trying to like spread their HIV.
Charlie Sheen.
Like they get off. They do it. Like they try to. They get off.
Like
on
Charlie Sheen
spreading HIV.
Sorry, I accidentally gave you VD.
Then there's the people there's also people who want to catch HIV.
Really?
Yes.
Is it kind of like a Munchausen type of thing?
Probably. It's probably along those same lines.
Because
what the fuck?
I think it's like when you when you're so deep into that community that you want to be as much of a part, like you want to go all the way in. And how else do you go all the way in?
Getting AIDS?
Getting AIDS. What is the, stereotypically, gayest thing you can do talking 80s stereotypes here.
Oh, 80s stereotypes.
Okay. Yeah.
This makes me feel a lot better about some of the weird shit that I'm into and do hearing this. We won't talk about that on the air.
Why not?
I only try to intentionally catch colds.
We've been open about...
I'm really into Charlie Sheen, actually. It seems to be a theme here, so just, now that we're talking about it.
Yeah. Actually, California, it was illegal to have sex with somebody unprotected and not tell them whether or not you had AIDS or HIV. So if you have sex with somebody and then caught the HIV,
well, that's one of those things.
You could press charges if they didn't tell you.
That's a good idea. I'm for that.
I think you should. But here's the thing, though. With all the drugs and all the research that's gone as far as, like, you know, medical science goes.
Oh, it's almost disappeared.
AIDS is almost gone.
Yeah.
Non-detectable.
And if you have it, you can just treat it and just take this and you're done. I think they've actually repealed that law in California because it's not necessary anymore. Because it's so manageable at this point. No one dies of AIDS anymore.
As long as you're taking the medication, you could have HIV. And if you're taking the medication, go and get checked for it and they wouldn't find it.
Yeah.
Because it's just basically...
Just like Magic Johnson.
I mean, I don't know.
You just have one HIV.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'll just stick to the clap, thanks.
Oh.
Well, you take the pills, it goes away.
Yeah.
The one with the special comb, that's all you really know. I like the comb. I mean, it's like nice and minty flavor when they give you medication. Like, I don't know why you would stray.
So you have your STD preference then.
Yeah. I mean, don't we all?
You know,
I've been fortunate enough never actually had one.
Yeah.
I haven't had enough intercourse to, you know, to have that problem, so.
Well,
brave of you to admit that on the air.
And I'm a good boy, so if I ever caught something, then, I'd be getting divorced.
Because somebody has some explaining to do.
Because it came from somewhere else.
I'm a good Catholic man, damn.
Yeah. good Catholic.
Practicing a la carte Catholic.
What do you call it when you only go to when you go to church twice a year and one of them is not a Catholic church? What do you call that? So Catholic church once a year.
You dabble.
I dabble.
You dabble.
A dabbler.
You're a dabbler.
I just go for the tradition.
Well, I kind of like it in small doses. I guess that's kind of pittered out anyway. So let's go to current events.
So Mike, you're from DC for the past few years. How is Nancy Pelosi in bed?
not nearly as good as Katie Hill is, actually, if we're on that topic.
Katie Hill, so you got some extras, you know?
Yeah, that,
that was a Howard Stern.
That was a bonus.
Question.
Yeah, I was profoundly disappointed for many reasons.
You're in D.C., have you fucked Nancy Pelosi?
it was a Howard Stern question.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you seen Nancy Pelosi? She would be on top. That's there's no...
you're going to break her.
Yeah, that's a power
move. I mean, she's
move.
200 years old.
That's
know?
True, yeah.
She just goes, sit still. Don't move.
Subpoena me.
She's all dried out over here.
She'd be wheeling. You have to wheel in a dolly with like a drum,
55-gallon drum of Astro Glide.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a joke about filibustering here somewhere, but I don't know where it's at.
Filibustering nut.
Okay, so
yeah,
last time we all spoke to you, impeachment was just getting rolled, just starting.
Ago,
your turnover. Woo! Current events are never current anymore with us.
They're not.
Work on that. So Jeff was in denial about the whole thing.
I was not in denial, all right? Let's get one thing clear. I just didn't feel that the phone call on its own was enough. Now, I know that the House would disagree. I knew that.
Right, we knew that. We knew that they already had the votes going.
Yeah, everybody knows that the House is going to disagree and vote in favor. Which so far, they voted in favor of an impeachment inquiry, is what I understand. They haven't officially voted for impeachment.
Right.
What they're doing is
they're setting the rules.
They voted to consider...
to consider continuing what they're doing.
Yes. To think about possibly considering impeachment.
Right. And which is actually kind of funny. And I've listened to two very thorough podcasts about... One was Nixon and Watergate. It was the same. It was the Slow Burn podcast. I would highly recommend it. Once you're done listening to this show, listen to Slow Burn. One was about Nixon and one was about Clinton. And every time this comes up, Congress has no idea what the fuck to do.
Like, how do you actually do it? It happened with Nixon. We're like, okay, what do we... okay, we're allowed to do this, but how do we do it?
You have to start pulling out old scrolls and blowing the dust off.
Yeah, that's a real thing. The Nixon impeachment trial, Hillary Clinton was some kind of staffer and actually researched, like, 1400s era law from Great Britain. Like, it's a real thing, really?
How do we impeach the 1400s era law is what even allows for impeachment in the first place, which is why they put in the Constitution.
But 1400, what, law for Britain?
Thanks, Hamilton. Yeah.
Weren't they a monarchy at that time? I mean,
Lawrence,
can't you not overthrow a king without...
Oh, you can overthrow a king.
A lot of blood?
Usually doesn't just it take involved a lot beheading. Of,
yeah, exactly.
Impeachment was a lot easier back then.
You need the people to rise up, and it's
a
whole big thing.
That came from Magna Carta, which was the British nobility's way of curbing King John's power, because they thought he was a tyrant.
Was he?
Probably.
I mean, you're the expert here. This is why we have you on, is because whenever this question comes up, is actually, it was a...
It's hard.
Isn't that a king's job, to just, you know, make decrees and just declare things
John
whatever
was,
he wants?
John was very greedy, let's put it that way. Not our John.
He's going to be like, every Friday is blowjob day for John, me.
Well, you know, John Plantagenet actually was quite fond of that sort of thing.
So, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
But
who isn't fond of that sort of thing?
Well, you know, it's good to be the king sometimes.
You tell me, this guy likes blowjobs? What?
It was mostly about how
we're
much...
good Catholic men here. We already talked about this.
Oh, that's right.
It was about how much money he charged those nobles to go and fight his wars in France.
It's all right. I only get blowjobs for procreation purposes.
We're still trying to make sure that you can't have a kid that way.
Which impeachment trial are we talking about here?
King John.
King John, yeah.
All of them.
Now, oral sex.
So, but the point I was trying to get at is every time it comes up, they all kind of do it their own way. And so this one is kind of like what you see right now with the closed-door depositions.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a grand jury phase.
Well, that's like a new rule that was instituted by the previous Republican Congress, was the closed-door sessions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was that...
they infamously crashed...
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what they should do for this
impeachment? When they were invited in the first place.
they should have Trump spin the wheel. Like the Price is Right wheel. So instead of like...
I don't think he could get it all the way around.
But instead of like 5 cents, you know, like the lower amounts, you just put impeach on it. And then he could still win the $1,000 if he hits $1.
Okay.
But then everything else is not impeach.
So anything, so you
and the
you
wheel just, does have to go all the way around.
I think he would have trouble with that.
The $1 is a second term, and then the two squares outside were both impeached.
No, $1, he gets the $1,000.
Yeah, just the $1,000.
You know what would be great? So the House, let's just
say... We solved all our problems using game shows.
It really seems like a better system than what we have in place.
That's true.
Well, probably, yeah.
Kent Brockman would say, I've said it before and I'll say it again, democracy just doesn't work.
So you're right.
You're just sliding right into that role.
Just doesn't
work. Guys, I'm headed to Washington.
Simpsons, Bob Ross, Fred Rogers. I mean, why do we even need Tim anymore?
Wow.
I think I can do a pretty... Hey, guys.
I used to pride myself on doing a good Tim. Mm-hmm. And
He's done it on the show.
Every once in a while, I would just do a Timmy from time to time.
And then Jeff just beat it without even trying.
I did do a good one, but I don't remember what I said.
Doesn't matter. Just say it's a bunch of BS.
Well, it's a bunch of BS. It's not good. I can't do it on the spot.
You can't do it on the spot.
Let's move on here. Yes. We're talking about impeachment,
we're talking
guys.
About, we're talking about impeachment.
We're not
important
talking about
here.
Tim. He's in Thailand.
He's not listening.
He doesn't exist.
He's not even like using his special Zoom mic and like recording pieces for the show.
Yeah.
Which I think
he promised us.
He probably will, actually. If we remind
him. It'd be cool if we could get some clips of like Tim talking to like a food vendor on the street, you know? When he's trying to buy like a duck head or whatever they eat.
He's trying to buy some balut.
Yeah, well, whatever he eats.
Something with peanut sauce. Sprouts.
Probably a lot of sprouts.
I mean, Tim, whenever he goes abroad, doesn't he tend to stray?
Only when his options are limited. So if you can't get good vegan food anywhere at all, I'm not necessarily good vegan food, but like if everything has something
just
in it.
Just vegan food.
No matter what. kind of like
what if,
oxymoronical statement.
Here's what I think would make Tim stray. So I don't know if this is in China or just a general East, you know, Far East Asia thing, But they have this food where they take a bunch of eggs and they put them in a bucket. And they put this bucket in elementary schools. And they encourage...
Sounds like Alabama.
They encourage... Yeah. But it gets worse.
It gets worse.
They encourage prepubescent boys to pee into the bucket full of eggs. So what you end up with...
So it's definitely Alabama.
Yeah.
So it's
piss eggs.
I have questions.
Well, in Alabama, you don't pee on the eggs. You just pee right on your dad.
Oh my god.
But moving on, staying on track. The Asian piss eggs.
Yeah.
They leave these eggs to soak in the urine.
Okay.
Because they believe that, like, it's... I don't know if the eggs are boiled first or whatever they do, but they let them soak in the urine. It does something. I don't know what it does, but people eat the eggs after a certain amount of time.
And this
they ferment in the urine.
This is what's going to turn Tim? Is
yes,
piss eggs?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you want to explain your logic there, or just...
Because
this is what's going to turn Tim and...
Because it's considered an aphrodisiac.
Oh, okay.
So they eat the piss eggs and get
yeah,
a boner.
Yeah, that makes sense then. Yeah,
I feel like we need to define when we say turn Tim now. We're bringing aphrodisiacs and prepubescent boys into the conversation. There are layers to this conversation.
Nah, he's got a bunch of surgically altered vaginas to, you know, navigate through, so...
Yeah.
You know.
I wouldn't judge him.
Women that used to be men. What? Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, Timmy's very open-minded, you know. So,
well, you never know.
Why bother with the surgically altered vagina when there's a perfectly good asshole to go at?
It's true.
The funny thing was, and Tim had mentioned this on the show before we get back to actual current events,
yeah,
is that he had a Tinder profile for Thailand, and this is basically for Mike.
OkCupid.
OkCupid, yeah. He had an OkCupid profile for Thailand.
Ah, okay.
And
okay.
He was telling us this on the show, and... what he said was usually pretty much any of the ladyboys just put it right out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a ladyboy. So he's probably not going to have any like big surprises.
Yeah.
Although if he did, he loves a
good
story. It
would make great material for the show.
Not even like for the show necessarily. Timmy just loves a good story.
I just want to know if he does encounter a ladyboy, if he's going to reciprocate.
Well, we'll find out in March.
Thailand
is much more culturally accepting.
I suck so much ladyboy cock.
It's actually not that bad.
Ah, oh, poor Timmy. Here we are.
Here we are just burying
not
him.
You know, don't
himself.
Talk about somebody when they're not there to defend themselves.
Anyhow, back to Congress.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Speaking of ladyboys.
All right, so with all the news coming out, Jeffrey, has your opinion changed?
Well, I haven't actually been paying much attention to the news. Because, I mean, I knew that was going to happen. I knew they were going to go forward with it.
Right, but as far as, like, the information that comes out from, like, all these people that they've spoken to so far.
I actually haven't heard any of that.
Well, basically, here's what's happening. You're getting two different types of folks that have been testifying. Either A, yeah, he did it, but it's not illegal. Or B, yeah, he did it, and it was totally improper or illegal, whatever you want to call it.
Well, there's a big difference between improper and illegal. Breaking wind on a little boy's face is improper.
Hey, now let's not make sweeping decrees here. It depends.
Sometimes
on
that
the
little
boy
is a real prick.
Yeah. Depends on the little boy. Depends on what you had for dinner the night before. There's a lot of factors we got to define here.
Yeah, sometimes they deserve it.
Depends on if you have IBS
or not. My nephews know that.
Depends if they're trick or treating during the daylight or not.
Hey, Mikey with the callback and the comedy points.
Nice.
10 comedy points for Mikey.
So you haven't been paying attention then?
No, not really. I never really pay attention to politics. I told you, I just like listening to Tucker Carlson because he makes me laugh.
Well, yeah.
Because he's just hilarious.
He's your Alex Jones replacement.
No, because Alex Jones you listen to because the things he says are so ridiculous. With Tucker Carlson, it's not that the things he says are that ridiculous. It's that he I know, some people might think it's whatever. It depends on your leanings.
Yeah.
Which my leanings aren't as far as your leanings.
True.
Anyway.
Would you consider yourself a raging moderate?
Raging moderate?
Maybe.
Raging moderate.
Our dad is a raging moderate.
Yeah,
I would like to see what that looks like. Like, who's your candidate if you're a raging moderate? Like Jim
Amy
Bush
Klobuchar.
Or... Amy Klobuchar. Amy Klobuchar would probably be it, you're right.
Yeah. Literally a raging moderate.
She is raging. Yeah, raging.
Like, yeah. For example, Jimmy Carter, my dad did not vote for. My dad leans Democrat.
He was actually quite the raging moderate as president.
Well, I mean, he was probably the last guy, with the possible exception of George H.W. Bush, who just wanted to do the right thing all the time and was morally compelled to do the job well. And what happened to him?
He lost.
He lost.
He lost. Went back to his peanut farm.
We want people. We say we say we want people like that, like Jimmy Carter.
No, we don't want Jimmy.
But we actually don't want Jimmy Carter.
We don't. It's one side wants the extreme version of their thing, and the other side wants the extreme.
The American public. The problem with Carter wasn't so much his politics or policies; it was just the way he delivered everything. And he always was doom and gloom. Yeah. And, you know, we had a problem with inflation in those days. So everything was doom and gloom. This is not a happy speech. That killed him right there.
But, you know, they say, like, Donald Trump, you know, the people that voted for him.
Right.
Well, he just tells it like it is. No, he doesn't. He's just being an asshole. Jimmy Carter told it like it is.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Things are bad. Things are bad.
He told people things were bad.
I'm working on it, but things are bad. And then, well, he lost.
He lost to Ronald Reagan, who was the optimist.
That's what
the American people
shining
want.
Shining city on
but
the hill.
Thing that is that Donald Trump doesn't tell it like it is when it comes to
him.
When it comes to other people, he tells it like it is. He says what he feels about other people, the people that he doesn't like.
Well,
but when it comes to actual like America,
no, when
he just talks about how great everything's going.
Well, he spent his entire campaign saying how bad everything was.
Yeah.
And then at some point,
he alone can fix it.
Yeah. America was not great. Let's make it great.
But then he became president.
And then he became president, and therefore, it is now great.
Everything's
so
great.
So it goes from make America great to now keep America great. So at what point in these, 3 years?
What has changed?
America was always great. Come on.
I'll tell you exactly what has changed, and here's the exact thing that he can point to.
Okay.
That he had very little to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Something to do with. The stock market went from 19,000 to above 20,000 points.
That's true, it did.
Because I honestly think this. I think that he sees the stock market, you know, the Dow Jones
as the economic indicator.
That's the economy.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's a bunch of other shit.
Of course,
there's a bunch of other shit. And honestly, I mean, well, you look at two different sides of it. People's wages have gone up in general, but when you look at like the interest rate, they keep propping things up with lower interest rates, and it's.
Yeah,
there's
and
a
that's
lot
the problem.
Of things going on that
because
make the economy look there's better be than a, there's, it is, and it's not like
it's a facade.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
There is going to be a recession.
Yeah, soon.
It's not,
soon.
And it's not going to be as bad as like 2008.
No, 2008 was
it's
was
not going
to
be that bad.
2008 was its indicators were close to depression level.
It's going
to
be.
It
like,
was still legal, you know, technically recession, what they consider recession, but it hovered around those depression levels.
It's probably going to be more like early 2000s, like around 2001 or 2002.
We had
a small recession
in
2000. It's probably going to be more like that.
Probably, but here's the thing that I don't like as far as how he does business, especially when it comes to the economy, because he only wants that stock market number to be up. And so he is always pressuring who's ever in charge of the Federal Reserve, because they set the interest rates when it comes to the federal level, to keep them low and take them down. And when they want to push them up, because whenever things are booming, you're supposed to push the interest rates up to level everything up. Because a lot of times when the economy is way up, it's unsustainable. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what happened in 29.
Listen to Adam Smith over here.
Assuming that nothing comes out of this impeachment thing that is just going to sway 20 Senate Republicans, I don't know if that's going to happen. I doubt it's going to happen.
It's not
going to
happen.
I wish the spin the wheel option was available. Because here's why.
You'd be more likely to get an impeachment
that
way.
Random chance would be more
you
likely.
You could have a Senate trial. You can either vote A, not to kick him out, B, to kick him out, or C, vote them to spin the wheel. Because that way, if there's a Republican that knows deep down that he did something wrong and is not proper as far as the office of president is concerned, they don't have to vote him out, because that's going to be political suicide as far as their jobs are concerned. And that's the reason why.
Well, yeah, the scuttlebutt is that almost all of them despise this man.
But they're not going to.
Yeah, but they're not going to go against him because they're
because
their
votes. Another constituents because, are going to be unhappy. Yeah, because they do.
Lindsey Graham only, ever looked more like a nutless monkey?
I did
monkey.
Not vote yes. to him. I did not vote him out of office. I voted him to spin the wheel.
You know what? I mean, you can't blame them for that because the thing is that
well,
people,
that's just people the lay of the land. That's just reality.
Well, there's a lot of people who say
that's
things
democracy.
Like oh, they don't want him in there. But they're not going to vote for it because their constituents don't want them to.
It's not necessarily
but that's the point.
Their constituents. It's
That's what a congressperson is supposed to do. They're
well,
supposed to do what they think that their
people,
constituents,
yeah.
the people in their districts, whatever,
right.
would want
usually,
them to do.
But, usually, yes. But sometimes the constituents don't know any better.
Well, part of the
shaking
is
down
this.
A foreign government to get dirt on a political opponent is not okay.
No, it's not.
But the constituents it's
just,
don't know any
espionage.
Better.
Particularly when you spend $50 million to push YouTube and Facebook ads explaining, trying mm-hmm. to explain how Joe Biden did the exact same thing, even though... No,
it was not
exactly
it was not
the
same
thing.
But here's the big difference, getting back to the previous point, of the difference between politics, how it was conducted in the 70s during the Nixon era, and how it's conducted today, is politics is now a lot more tribal.
Yeah.
So, and it's not driven by who's the best candidate, who has, you know, all that shit. It's driven by who can get their tribe to turn out. It's driven by the turnout battle. So if you can win the turnout battle, you'll win the election. That's why the Republicans behave the way they behave, because they focus on those bread and butter issues for their base to drive them to turn out, because that's all they have.
Red meat issues, yeah.
Their bread and butter is things like abortion,
guns.
Judges, guns.
Abortion, judges, and guns.
Yeah, that's their that's
it's
their
like a
shit.
Warren Zevon song.
I like guns the most.
Well, I mean, that's those are
you have nothing
butter.
To worry about.
Guns make very effective abortion tools.
Oh,
speaking of something that has layers to it,
yeah, yeah.
It is a nuanced issue.
It's a nuanced
yeah,
issue.
It's very nuanced. So, but yeah, so that's the difference. Is in the 70s, it wasn't driven that way.
But what I'm thinking is, even publicly, I don't believe that enough will come out as far as the public impeachment hearings go. That'll flip 20. Senate Republicans.
Oh, no, I don't even think that's the point. I think it's strictly a political
yeah,
move
it what
for
it
Nancy
is,
Pelosi in the House because they know, you know they're not going to get the they don't they
course,
know they're
not
going to get
Mike,
out of office.
I said that on the last show, and these guys were like,
I
no,
did not
no,
say
no.
that. I said I actually agreed that it's totally a political move.
Now that Mike's here and Mike says it, then it's
no.
all it's right. When I say it,
well, I am a political insider apparently.
This is
so.
A good thing we have.
Oh yeah,
it
you are part of the deep state, having yeah. lived in yeah. Washington for
exactly.
8 years.
Actually, I penned an article for The Hill once. It didn't get published, but still.
but no, I think a shakedown of a foreign government for personal political gain is a lot like you know, there's a lot of similarities to what happened with Watergate.
Yeah.
The only difference is there's no burglary.
Right.
But he's still using the power of his office and what he has at his disposal to get something that only benefits him personally against an American citizen.
And what we have now is a shakedown of a sitting president for political gain.
It's a coup d'etat.
If you've done something wrong, you're supposed to, you know, have consequences.
He's being lynched.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh.
Didn't you hear?
You know,
I've
the best
seen
part
that
about you know what the best part about that
it
comment
is a, it
was
is a
from him.
Terrible thing to say.
It is a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the
yeah.
people that vote for him are going to be like, "Yeah, yeah, of course he is."
It's the exact same thing as tying a black guy to a pickup truck and dragging him on the street.
Now, in their defense, many of the people who may have supported that comment might not know what the word lynching means.
They don't
so,
care.
They know.
Don't care.
They
don't.
They know.
I meant it figuratively.
Figurative lynching.
Oh shit. So
anyway, we don't know dick about politics is what we're getting at here.
I think at least
except Lawrence. Lawrence knows.
Lawrence knows. I know a little. I know a little. Mike knows
Mike's
a little.
Mike's an insider.
I'm a deep state representative, so.
That's right.
I'm
right,
not going to say which
speaking,
state though.
Speaking of Mike, I think and this will be enough to take us into the break. But
yeah,
Mike
is the Secretary of Industrial Arts.
And they pants you and drag you around the track.
Yes.
Which I will say, my wife and I, who many of the gentlemen in the room are familiar with my wife, but she loves
Ooh,
that clip.
Very familiar.
Yes, very familiar.
Very familiar.
Right, the second time I've used the term intimately familiar today.
Well, we have to set that up a little bit. What you're referencing was a Mystery Science Theater short.
Yes.
From the 1950s called Why Study Industrial Arts? Now, Mikey over here is now a, well, I guess, doctor of shop.
Doctor in industrial arts. I'm working on it.
It used to be called shop and industrial arts, and industrial arts, and now it's tech ed.
Yes, that's correct.
Do they still call it that?
They still call it that. Okay. Yep.
Because, you know, 10 years ago when we were in college together, it was tech ed.
Yeah, people changed their minds.
I wanted to make sure it hasn't changed yet.
No, I'm not a PC police guy. If you mislabel my profession, I'm not going to be offended by that.
Well, it goes beyond shop anyway, right? Even robotics.
Yeah, it's fairly
comprehensive. We're going to have a robot road rally.
That's a long story. But Why Study Industrial Arts is one of the greatest mystery science shorts. And I show it to Mike because I knew his sensibilities as a future shop teacher of America in those days.
Mm, we need them.
What do you do with that clip now?
As a collegiate professor, I show that to my intro level course. That's day one. And I ask them for their thoughts on it. And it's great seeing this hodgepodge of 18, 19 year olds have no fucking clue what I'm talking about or any idea why this clip is relevant. We talk about Jeff mentioned these damn kids earlier. This was probably my these damn kids moment. I asked my class this year, how many of you know what Mystery Science Theater 3000 is? And not a single one of them raised their hand.
Not one. Boom.
And I was so disappointed. Oh, you know what? Disappointed.
I have some tapes where I taped it off of TV. I have like four or five tapes. You should take those.
Speaking of being an old man.
There's a Pluto TV channel.
Yes, there is.
Dedicated.
But then you can wheel out the cart. With the TV strapped to the top and the VCR.
Do they have VCRs on campus at all?
Well, we may not, actually.
They actually did when we were in school there. There was a couple of classes where there was one where we had to make a tape of ourselves. It was our communications, like speech class, whatever the hell it was.
Okay.
And we had to make a tape of ourselves, or bring in a blank tape so they could tape us doing our speech. So I actually have a tape of myself from college. Because that was how they recorded it, was on a tape.
Okay.
Which is probably like the end of the whole tape.
Yeah, the end of
sounds like
the
it's
end
also
of tapes.
The
sounds
end
like the end of the half.
Second half, yeah. That's what I was getting at.
We are definitely aging ourselves with this one.
Yeah.
I would say. But actually, getting back to politics a little bit, the one story I wanted to suss out from you was that we had a mutual friend who was by far a straight out of the fucking brochure Republican. And
but a Reagan Republican. I would actually be curious to see what his thoughts on Donald Trump are.
I don't. I'm still with him on Facebook. I don't think he's a fan, but he's also not a fan of the other side either. So it's kind of
you're
lost.
In that awkward in between. What do you do? Yeah.
But there was
a libertarian.
There was a moment. There was a moment where you and him had struck up a friendship. And then you broke his heart.
I did break his heart. Yeah. Based on, and I don't remember the contours of this story specifically. But yes, our friend who, straight out of the brochure, Ronald. I'm pretty sure he actually had a poster of Ronald Reagan in his room. The great Saint Reagan, in fact, he once referred to him.
Holy God!
So yeah, he was out there. Good. Well, I won't say a good guy.
No, he's not a good guy.
No, he was not a good guy. He was not a good guy.
We found that out,
and that had nothing to do with his political leanings. Actually, they were completely unrelated. But no, he. We had a conversation, and he knew that I. I guess you would call me somewhat evangelical because I was a devout church-going young lad. Mm-hmm. And when he found out that I voted for Barack Obama in the election, you do a better imitation of the gentleman than I do.
Okay, I wasn't expecting
his face
this,
fell.
But,
oh no! He was. I think to this day he's still wrestling with that.
So heartbroken.
And I had to basically just do the version that Mike gave me. But he goes. But you go to church!
Yes, but you go to church! Yes, can I do? And?
Would it make you feel any better that later I laid the pipe on his ex?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Because
that did happen.
And if I recall, I met her once. Was she not a Fox News consultant or something?
She was an intern for Sean Hannity,
but it
actually.
Doesn't quite have the same impact when she's his ex.
I know.
Current would have had way more impact.
Time wasn't on my side. You know,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? That's the best I could do. What are we going to do? They had already broken up. You know?
So on that note, on that lovely little note, we'll be right back after this.
After this.
After this?
Hey there, pipsqueak.
That's my name, don't wear it out.
You want to get jacked.
Sure, that in a pair of testicles.
You want to get shredded.
I'm retarded.
But your gym's full of nothing but dongs and fat, disgusting slobs.
What the hell are you doing? I'm banging that girl.
Planet Fitness gets its members from the county fair. Gold Gym puts up ads on the business side of truck stop glory holes.
Oh, those guys are fast!
So stuff a sock in your crotch and get down to Irontown Fitness.
I've got a crisis in my pants.
We only let in the finest of top shelf tight body twat.
We're on a mission from God.
You want to curl your puny biceps while you stare at an ass like a ripe summer peach?
It's bigger than you expected?
Or how about taking a light jog while you bob your head to the luscious rack on the next treadmill?
Well, it's because you have big jugs.
If you're really lucky, you'll get a good look at a bitch's camel toe while she bends down for a squat.
I do love the taste of a good burger.
When you see a girl get off a stationary bike, you can go ahead and smell the seat.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Or take one of their sweaty towels and wrap it around your face.
I'm ashamed God made me a man.
We have personal trainers that only let the bustier girls do jumping jacks.
Good. Bring on the big one.
We've got cameras in the hot yoga room. You don't even need to leave the house.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
We'll put them on a massage table so you can work the knots out of their tits.
You don't know where that finger's been.
We'll even tell them your license.
I'm a professional.
We have guys in the locker rooms that'll inject anabolic steroids right into your cock.
Because you got a dick the size of a fucking thumbtack.
There's nothing legal about any of this. We let the girls work out for free so they don't report us.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
If they do, we don't keep their names on file, so we'll just deny it.
Whoa, what are you going to do about it?
Most of them know they're being exploited, but they keep showing up.
Nice to meet you, Miss Horny.
It's like an all-you-can-eat pussy buffet.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Irontown Fitness. Get your pump on while you pump up.
Hey guys, Jeff
Musk
here, starting off the second half of the show with my idea for a Hallmark movie. Now, we've all seen Hallmark movies, right?
Yes, whenever my sister-in-law lived with us, she would watch them 24/7, and they were all Christmas-related and all filmed in July in Los Angeles.
They do like to do the holiday thing.
The Christmas
they
in
always,
July.
They always try to tie it into a holiday. Really, the story could take place at any time of the year. but they like to play. They churn these things out around the holiday season.
So it's career woman, and it's Christmas, and she doesn't really care about Christmas. So she meets this guy, and he's really nice.
It doesn't have to take place during Christmas. I was actually thinking it might be like a good fall movie, like they could play before Thanksgiving or something.
Ooh,
it doesn't actually have to have Thanksgiving in it, but you know. So
you're a visionary, Jeff.
I am.
Really?
I am. So it stars a woman, of course, who has
Candace Cameron Bure. No.
Or Anne Hathaway, one of the two.
It could be Candace Cameron. But so this woman,
we're casting Candace Cameron.
So this woman works
so
this woman works at a crayon factory.
Okay.
And her job at the crayon factory is to come up with new colors.
Okay.
For crayons.
Ooh, Lacey Chabert would be a good casting.
She could be one too. So her job is to come up with new colors for crayons. And what's happening at the factory right now is that there's sort of a contest, and whoever comes up with the crayon it will be featured as the 97th crayon in the box.
So this is a Crayola, but we'll call it...
No, this is Rose Art.
Crayola wouldn't agree to release the trademark.
Yeah, they wouldn't pay for the product placement, but Rose Art did. But anyway, so it's,
I like how you've got it down to that. Oh, he's got deals working. Yeah. You know?
So she comes up with the new color, right? And she's going to take it to her boss when she bumps into this guy that she works with. That's kind of like you know how those movies always have the guy that seems like he's the guy, but he's not the guy.
Sure.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
There's always the guy that's like, you know, oh, they dated
the serial killer.
She's sort of dating him at the time, but not really. Or maybe he's always asking her out and she's turning him
down. The Billy Zane in Titanic.
Something like that. Kind of like that, yeah. So that's the guy that he's always turning her down. But they bump into each other and then they drop all their sample crayons with their colors. And their colors are kind of similar.
Oh.
Yeah. But they pick up all their crayons, and she goes to her. They both go to the boss to present their new colors.
Yeah,
and whoever's color gets picked also gets to go to the big crayon convention that's coming up.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in another city, so it's kind of like, you know.
It's in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids is a good one. Okay, we're going to say it's in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And so they're going to go to their bus. And so they both present their crayons, but the guy ends up, his color gets picked. So he's the one who gets to go to Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Wilmington, Delaware.
But he has a crisis of conscience, right?
Right. Actually, you know what would be better is if it was like somewhere in Vermont. That way, for the fall tie-in, you know, the leaves. And I like all that garbage.
You're basically limited to Burlington at that point.
Yeah, all right. So, I want a clarification real quick.
Sure.
What you're setting up is the guy's color gets picked, but it's actually her color.
Yeah, that is what's happening. You don't find that out until later. Because otherwise, you know, what would be the point? That would be half the damn plot. So she goes to...
Keep in mind, this is a Hallmark movie here.
So this guy ends up...
He puts in more work than most Hallmark movies.
True. Yeah.
Exactly. It's all paint by the numbers, really.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get to go to Burlington, Vermont. But he does. He goes to Burlington, Vermont. And now she's pretty distraught over this. You know, she's been working hard at this crayon
factory. She wanted to visit Castleton State College.
Burlington's biggest attraction is the world's tallest filing cabinet. That's a real thing. I was there last fall. Yeah.
Jesus.
It's not that
Christ
tall.
Christ.
It's not that tall.
It's not that tall. It's actually not that impressive.
So you're saying
it's
that
it's like 12 feet.
Wow. Hey, you know what? I have a welder in the garage. And with
you can make Burlington. It taller
with your industrial arts knowledge and my mediocre welding skills, we could build an even bigger filing cabinet. But we'll talk about that
Eat
later.
Your heart out,
We'll talk about that later. So
the millionaires and billionaires of this country are trying to make a much taller cabinet than the tallest cabinet in the world here in Burlington, Vermont.
That's good. That's good because he's a Vermont senator.
But anyway, layers to that gag.
But anyway, so this guy who's not the guy,
right?
He gets to go to Burlington, Vermont for the big crayon convention, and she's kind of distraught over this. So she decides that she's going to take like a couple weeks off. Because in these movies, this happens in every movie, is that they just get to go to their boss and be like, I'm going to take some time off. And nothing, there's no consequences. And they go, oh, sure, you deserve it. So that's what happens. Even though this guy, I don't know who's coming up with colors at the crayon factory.
This crayon factory is filled with democratic socialists who don't conform.
Nah, you're yeah. pushing it.
Okay. All right, a strong all right. union though.
Can the act, will you?
So she decides she's going to take a little bit time off. A little bit of time off. She's going to go back to her hometown, mm-hmm. which happens to be Burlington, Vermont. Which, as you already know,
is where the big crayon convention is
happening. And she doesn't know this. She didn't know where the crayon convention was. She just knew that whoever won, whoever's color got picked got to go to the crayon convention.
I mean, she thought it could be Cedar Rapids, Iowa, mm-hmm. for all she knew.
Exactly. It could have been Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It could have been Lansing, Michigan. Who knows? But it happens to be
Decatur,
her hometown.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Galveston, Texas.
That's just torturing people.
Crayons would melt.
Happens to be her hometown. Of Burlington, Vermont, where all the leaves are changing. So for the,
all of
for
its
the fall,
autumn splendor.
Right, for the fall tie-in. So she goes home and talks, you know, there's some mother shit, and she's like, pick my color.
She definitely has breast cancer.
No, it's not that kind of movie.
Okay.
It's not that kind of movie.
Okay.
So she goes to her hometown of Burlington, Vermont. She talks to her mother and complains about how her color didn't get picked and whatever. And then she decides she's going to go out to a nice fall like cider thing with, you know, pumpkins.
and bales of hay and
corn stalks that are tied together.
And she's nice wearing maize, flannel.
Yeah, she's wearing flannel. And she's just, you know, sampling some cider and having a good time. When she runs into the guy whose crayon did get picked...
Dave.
Because the crayon convention is actually tomorrow. It's the next day. And he's just hanging out.
Can we call him Dave?
Taking in all of what Burlington, Vermont has to offer.
He sounds like a Dave.
He could be Dave. It doesn't really matter.
I think it matters.
He could be a Dave. He could be a Bill. Who cares?
Dave.
Fine, it's Dave. So Dave is there.
I think he should be from Canada.
Shut up, Mike. You're fired.
So Dave shows up. He's like, "Oh, hey, how you doing? I didn't know you'd be here at the cider festival."
All right, you're hired again.
See, it works. It right. works.
I didn't realize that the guy was played by Philadelphia College.
Philadelphia Flyers mascot.
Dave is a perfectly fine-looking guy. Okay. That's how this always works. He's a normally attractive man. You know, yeah. averagely attractive.
This
man.
Is a Hallmark movie. There are no fat people.
Right. Yeah, they're all decent-looking people.
Or people of color, for that matter.
That's true. They are all white people. And this movie also is all white people.
Well, it is filmed in Burlington, Vermont, after all.
White people for white people.
Right. All right.
So at the Cider Festival, she runs into Dave, who is the guy whose color did get picked, and he gets to go to the crayon convention that takes place the next day. And she's like, "Oh no, the crayon convention is here in my hometown." And Dave's like, "Yeah, well, maybe we could go tonight and have a drink or something." And then she makes up some excuse and says that she can't do that.
It's a Hallmark movie. He tries to get her to have coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
And the coffee scene in Burlington. Vermont
that if
is
they
also,
that if they were to have coffee together, she would be drinking with one hand on the handle of the mug and also another hand and sipping it,
wearing mittens.
they always drink it with two hands.
While snowing for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. So anyway. She turns him down. She makes up some excuse and says why she can't go have a drink with him that night.
Like, for example, her mother totally has breast cancer.
It's not that kind of movie.
Okay, it's not an AMC movie. It's a Hallmark movie.
Anyway, so she turns Dave down. And then while at the Cider Festival, she happens to run into another man.
Jim.
And then some, awkward, funny stuff will happen. It's cute and whatever, and... maybe they grab the same cider jug and their hands touch. It doesn't really matter.
And he's the guy.
This is who will end up being the guy.
Jim.
Okay. It's Jim. Yeah. And Jim, she finds out, is a journalist who's covering the crayon convention that takes place tomorrow.
Okay. The sad thing is, I can picture all this. Like, this is legit, actually. Yeah. So patent pending. I think we need to throw that. If anybody from Hallmark is listening, they may legit rip this off.
Well, they might change Crayon Factory to something else. Yeah. But they'll still have the Cider Festival and the journalist who's covering the thing. So that's
and the guy who stole her.
Right. Yeah. Jim. So Jim is at the Cider Festival, and then they meet, and she finds out he's a journalist that's covering the Crayon Convention. Now... obviously, nothing really good is going to happen at the crayon convention. He's kind of like, "Oh man, I got to cover this stupid crayon convention. It's ridiculous." And they end up going and having coffee together that she drinks with both hands,
wearing mittens
while wearing a sweater.
Yeah,
they're both wearing sweaters
and a scarf indoors for some reason. Because
she has a scarf indoors and a hat. So
I think they do that just to torture the actors under those bright lights.
So she agrees that she is going to be his plus one to the big crayon convention.
Okay.
Because she says, "Well, you know what? I mean, I'm in the industry. I can help you find something interesting to write for your story about the crayon convention."
Sure.
So Jim says, "Great, we'll go to the crayon convention together." So they go to the crayon convention, and then what happens is they unveil the 97th color. And then she sees it, and she says, "Oh no, that's my color."
What?
And then Jim says, "Now I have something interesting to write for my story."
Yeah.
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 So they get together to do some sleuthing.
Ooh.
And then they end up finding out, this guy Dave.
Fucking Dave.
Is a piece of shit.
He said racist things on Twitter when he was 11.
No. Oh. But he did once create a shade of crayon that he wanted to...
called Bleen.
He wanted to call something terrible.
He wanted to call it something terrible?
Yes, he wanted to call it...
N-word
ISIS
brown?
You nailed it. That was what Dave wanted to do. And then they were like, "Well, we can't actually call it that. But if we put the Spanish word for black, it'll be kind of the same thing." Anyway...
That was what you were going for? N-word brown?
And this is where we...
He couldn't call it Encyclopedia Brown?
I'm not going to pretend that was what I was going for because you said it. So I'm going to let you take the...
You're let John take credit for being a racist this time.
Hey, I did not say the word.
Right.
We don't do that on this show.
No, of course
we don't,
not.
We don't say that
We'll tap dance around it all fucking day.
Not on the show anyway.
But I don't like the saying at all, actually. I'm one of those.
Oh, Lawrence, I don't say bad things.
But anyway, back to the crayon convention. So they do some sleuthing, and they find out that this Dave's a piece of shit, and he knew all along that it was her color.
Oh.
But when he saw it, he knew that this was going to be the 97th color in the box of crayons, and that his was,
and he just had to go to
was
Burlington.
No good. And he had to go to Burlington, Vermont for the crayon convention so that he could have his, he could be, get all the glory.
Take all the credit. Right.
Of having
see
the,
that the 97th filing cabinet.
The 97th crayon. And the, maybe we
and the Rose Art large box.
Maybe we could have a scene where the woman and the journalist, before they go to the crayon convention, they hit up the big filing cabinet.
Yeah, they also have Lake Champlain, though, I suppose. That wasn't that where...
We can
Field of Dreams. That's not what I'm thinking of.
If they have a big lake there, what you can do is, you know, put them on like a one of those swans that you paddle with your feet.
Yeah, that could be one.
And where she's
like
giving
those
him
paddle boats at Kennywood.
Yeah, you could have a whole montage of them spending time together.
No.
The swan boat though should be more appropriate.
Well, no, it's early
fall.
They
can't do ice skating yet.
It's peak leaves season
because you can, but you can't have indoor.
Mike, you're fired.
You can't have indoor ice skating.
I came out of the break week here.
You can't have indoor ice skating in a Hallmark movie.
This is Hallmark. We have standards.
Outdoor. You have outdoor ice skating during Christmas time. Indoor ice skating during fall, no good. They have to go to the. That's why this. That's where the cider.
That's
the cider fair comes in.
See, the weather and the setting is like 90% of the movie. So
it's a lot of leaves, a lot of sunshine. Yeah. It's a lot of dry weather.
That's
so
their arty shots.
So, so they're wearing their flannel on the swan boat where she gives him the scoop, but he's also like really taken by her personality. So, and here's how the back and forth works to establish that she loves the journalist.
What you have to do
is that like...
No.
Hold
no,
on
no.
one sec. Just let me finish this thought. Okay?
I would like to finish mine first because I think, I mean, this is my movie. So
everyone wants to
here's
be a director.
You already signed me on as developer.
What we don't really have yet. So we have the conflict between the main character and Dave, the bad guy.
So we're about 12 minutes into this movie.
No, we're pretty far in by this point.
We're about 45.
There are a lot
around 40
of
minutes.
Just sunsets.
So.
And...
You forget that mom stuff takes a while.
Yeah, all that shit is going to take forever. It's all because this is what the kind of bullshit that women like, you know.
Yeah,
because they're stupid.
We don't tap dance around being misogynistic on this show.
Ah, these dumb broads, they don't know what they're watching. But anyway, they're about 40 minutes in, and that's where the... So we could have a montage. Oh, I'm sorry. What I was getting to was... So we already have the conflict between the woman and Dave, but that was going on since the beginning.
Right.
So that can't really be the conflict of the plot. The conflict of the plot is that she starts to feel that maybe Jim, the good journalist guy, is just using her as an in to get all this, you know, information about the crayon convention.
It's like Frozen.
So you have that. It's exactly like that. Except in the fall.
No magical powers or shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on a budget, goddammit.
We can't compete with Disney.
But we can try. But we could also hammer the script out in an hour and a half.
Well, so far we've hammered it out in about 15 minutes.
Exactly.
They did a pretty good job.
Yeah. So that's the conflict of the act two of the conflict. She thinks that he's using her, and then there's a whole thing, and then they end up making up, and he's like, no, I really like you. You don't understand. There's that kind of thing.
Okay.
So then, you know, then there's the whole thing about, I don't know, maybe she says, like, oh, I could move back to my hometown and we could be together. It really doesn't matter. There's that love story, it'll play itself out, as they all do in the Hallmark movies.
Yeah. Sure.
The real conflict, though, that we need to hash out is between her and Dave, who stole her crayon. And I actually haven't figured that out yet. This is as far as I got.
So you brought it up on the show
in my Hallmark movie
to try and figure out the consequences?
Yeah, I was hoping that you guys could...
It needs to be a modern Hallmark movie, so I think if Dave were gay...
No,
Dave can't be gay, because Dave was always asking her out.
Yeah.
These Hallmark movies, they don't have gay people in
them.
That's
true.
There's no minority representation at all.
You could have
frighten the upper middle class suburbanite women.
You could have a gay best friend. She could have a gay best friend, but
they have to be white.
White.
There's some flexibility there.
Okay, Mario Lopez.
With the gay best friend.
Hey, great. Okay, so we have Candace Cameron starring.
Lacey Chabert.
Co-starring
Mario
Lopez.
I feel as if Candace Cameron would not be okay with a gay friend.
Okay, no. All right, so here's what happens. The Burlington Banner runs the story. of the crayon color being stolen.
No, wait, they're gonna run the story.
No, right? No, they run the story. But and you see Dave reading it at his, like, you know, with his, you know, complete breakfast. You know how they have that?
His full English.
His glass of orange juice.
His glass of orange juice, his coffee, toast, bowl of cereal, exactly. Frosted Flakes, probably.
The full spread.
And an egg.
Yeah. Bacon.
And he's reading it, and he opens up his morning paper, just, you know, what they're saying about me at the crayon convention. And then the color is stolen, and he slams his paper down and goes and confronts...
Jim.
Jim. Who's your sources? What do you know about this? And then Jim doesn't give her up, but then he sees, you know, since, you know, he somehow just runs into her, and he's like, you told, didn't you? Because he knows it's her color. He knows.
He knows, because he did it on purpose. He knew that her color was better.
And she's like, what did you do, Jim? It was my color, and you took credit for it. You never told the truth. And then that plays itself out, too. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to go.
He reads the story at his complete breakfast, and then slams the paper down, confronts Jim. Jim doesn't give anything up, and because Jim did not give her up, that's how she knows
he got her. There's another way this could go.
Mm-hmm.
She could go, or Jim could go and confront Dave about the color.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And so he could go to Dave and say, I know you stole that color. He's like, how do you know? You don't know anything about me.
You're just a
small town shitty paper journalist.
For the Burlington Banner.
Yeah.
I'm from New York City.
Go back to writing your classified ads for garage sales, pal.
He's John Hurd in Big.
Well, John Hurd's dead.
Yeah, I know, but he's the same character.
Wait, Peter McAllister?
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he died a few years ago.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Anyway, so she goes and confronts Dave about the color, and he says, how do you know this? You don't know anything. And then she appears. She's like, I told him. So you have that whole thing. And then what you get there is you can actually have her look like the great person because she says, Jim, I don't want you to run that story. And then she can look like the hero, like the good person. Like, even though she hates Dave, and Dave did a shitty thing.
Dave's a pathetic piece of shit.
She can take the high road and let's leave this out of the papers. The good people of Burlington, Vermont don't need to know about the seedy things going on at the Crayon Convention.
In New York City.
I think that...
Or the Crayon Factory.
Yeah, that's kind of an angle, but I think really that she can still... She already has the high road. She doesn't need to take it again. Jim doesn't give her up as his source. Therefore, that's how she knows she's in love with Jim. That's how she knows that Jim is really on her side, not just using her. Because
he wants Dave to be exposed.
Mm-hmm. He wants Dave to be exposed, but also he doesn't want to give up, you know, his source. So he never tells Dave. So because Jim didn't out her, she knows that Jim is in love with her.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's no high road to be taken after that. We already knew it was her color. She already had the high road. Therefore, you can wrap it up.
She brings
Jim to Thanksgiving, and that's the end of the movie.
Then they open
credits.
They open a coffee shop and a cidery in upstate Vermont.
Fuck yeah!
That's the ending right there.
Jim quits his job.
Mike.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
That's the
She
ending.
Leaves the crayon factory that gets
moves back home.
Cheering up a little
and
bit
he, and Jim leaves the shitty newspaper.
Yeah.
And then they open up their cidery.
Their cidery. Cidery.
Even though the cider market is already saturated.
Especially in Burlington, Vermont.
The worst part is it's a seasonal thing. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to do well, but we don't need to cover that in the movie.
The sequel handles
They open the cidery. That's the happy ending. That's all they don't need to care about, you know, the 15.25% loan they took out. But yeah, I think we got ourselves a movie.
All right.
This is copyrighted now because we said so.
Yeah, yep. Trademark it.
No, I have to get to the Lifetime version.
Oh. All right, I got to pee real quick, so I'll be back.
You don't have to tell everybody you got to pee.
Every
just go.
Every damn show we do. We drink this beer. Did you have too much cider?
Is that what it is?
I've had too much cider.
I got a belly full of cider, guys. I'm going to have the can. It's hard cider.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back.
Okay, so the Lifetime version.
You know, as a teacher, I used to tell kids that all the time when I'd have to sneak out of the bathroom. I drank too much last night, kids. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back.
Well, I remember in high school, we had a substitute teacher who appeared to always be intoxicated. And he would always carry around this briefcase. And the theory was that in that briefcase was where he kept his booze.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, like, he would just always be at the school, like, at a different class all the time, and he was always just looked like he was hammered.
There are very few.
And he never did anything. Like, he was the sub that just, like, babysat, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he would just sit there like, okay, maybe you read out of your books or something.
We're going to put on Bill Nye the Science Guy. Yeah, this is an English class. Shut the fuck up, kids.
And I think that's what happened in chemistry classes. We had to watch this a tape of some guy doing experiments. And he was wearing this shirt.
Mr. Wizard.
It wasn't Mr. Wizard. He was kind of a bigger guy, like a little bit overweight. Not sort of like muscular overweight. But he was wearing this shirt that was kind of a 70s cut. You know how in the 70s, back then, people wore t-shirts and they just, like, were form-fitting. You know what I mean? And he was wearing this shirt that said, science is fun. And he's doing experiments, you know, like, oh, put the vinegar with the baking soda. You know, stupid shit like that. Now that John's back, this won't take as long to get to the Lifetime version. Most of the elements are the same. Except in the Lifetime version,
she's getting hit.
She's like 8 months pregnant.
With some guy who just ran?
With Dave's baby?
No. You see, that's what I was going to say.
It doesn't really matter whose baby it is.
And he
it,
was hitting her.
It could just be
around.
Like a one-night stand baby that she's pregnant with. So the guy
she doesn't like to talk about
it. Yeah, so that guy doesn't... Or it could be Dave's baby.
That would fit more into the Lifetime angle. That could be interesting.
So she goes back home where the Crayon Convention is. That she's not part of course, because her...
Is it still in Burlington in the Lifetime version?
Yes, it doesn't really matter in the Lifetime version, because Lifetime doesn't need to have the seasonal tie-in the way the Hallmark movies do. So she's at some place, it doesn't really matter. And she goes back to her mother's house, and now her mother has a friend, a female friend.
Okay.
She is single.
Mm-hmm.
She is lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she always wanted to have a baby. But... she never did. She never had children of her own.
Then she gets hit by a bus.
No, Mike, that's not what happens.
Sorry.
That is not Lifetime.
Mike really wants somebody to get hit by a bus.
That's not what happens in Lifetime movies.
I want Michael Bay to direct this movie. I want there to be explosions.
Well, we need the cheapest. We need Michael Ray. So it looks almost the same. Anyway... So
we need Roger Corman to direct.
I'm gonna try to make this quick. Let's skip ahead to where
too late.
Oh yeah, you're right. No. But so she's at the hospital.
This was a Mel Brooks when we'd all say it together. Too late.
She's delivers her baby, but then she doesn't actually get to see the baby. In the next, like, she gets like knocked out by some drugs or whatever while she's in labor, and then like right before she goes under, she sees. The eyes of the nurse look a little familiar.
Oh.
Yeah. And she goes under, and then when she wakes up, where's the baby?
And there he is.
The nurse tells her that it's stillborn.
Oh, this is very Lifetime.
Yeah. Nurse says, what baby?
The nurse tells her that I'm sorry, your baby was stillborn. But some, the nurse still so has
some story involving the umbilical cord and all that.
Yeah. The nurse
was wrapped around
the mask on, so she can't actually see
that the nurse is
in fact the mother's friend, who could never have children of her own, who stole the baby. So,
and the mother's played by Jane Kaczmarek.
she's actually not old enough. And all, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But anyway, so now here's where Jim comes in. Is that the same journalist who is covering the Crayon Convention that she meets at the whatever? Doesn't matter where she meets him. But he helps her do the investigative work to find out what happened to her stolen stillborn baby.
Oh,
because she wants to get the stillborn baby back so she can get it bronzed and put on her mantle.
What? Is she going to have it stuffed?
Pickle would be my preferred choice of preservation.
No. She's going to get it bronzed. A nice like thing, you know, to put it look good, you know, above the fireplace and all.
That's
a decoration.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So that's
top of the Christmas tree thing in Hallmark movie.
Yeah. But then that's what they find out is that the woman actually stole the baby. The mom's friend stole the baby. And then they go and they get the baby back. And the baby's actually alive. So she's a little disappointed because she didn't want to have the nice thing up there. Oh, great.
It's going to make a great centerpiece.
Feed
of Thanksgiving.
The damn thing. You know, I don't have to feed a bronze stillborn baby. Yeah. So it's a little bit disappointing. But
how could it be a Lifetime movie if no one's getting hit?
No one's getting hit.
I don't know if the baby's getting hit by the nurse mom.
No, there's two different kinds of Lifetime movies. There's Stolen Baby, and then there's Abusive Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they
this
don't.
Is the Stolen
there's
Baby.
There's no overlap?
Okay.
Not ever? Really. No, there's never any overlap. Okay.
That's just
never.
That's just
there are no
abusive,
that's just wrong.
That's just wrong. Yeah, it's like a double Lifetime equals a not yeah. Lifetime. So it becomes a TNT movie.
I love
it. A TNT movie.
Clint Eastwood stars in it. Just gets
the double life. He has two families. One he abuses, and the other one steals babies.
The other one he tells to get off his lawn. Like,
what are you doing out here? Get out of here. Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of Lifetime movies, and it's either Stolen Baby or the abuse thing. That's
or getting
pretty
hit.
Much all they do.
Stolen Baby, getting hit, pick one.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, wow. You know what? Lawrence, with your screenwriting degree, get on that. And,
I'm sorry to take up so much time, but I
no, 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 no,
these
don't apologize.
Ideas off of my chest.
Don't apologize.
I've been
that
thinking about them for days.
This is one of the best segments we've done on this show. Truly.
Sure.
You should do this more often.
We should.
This is copyright.
2019. Mm. 2019.
It's our story.
Copyright
right
Jeff, 2019.
All right, so, well, we still have a little bit more time to kill, wouldn't you
yeah,
say?
Why not? Yeah, mm-hmm. Why not?
So why don't you talk about the big controversy with wrestling?
Oh, you're talking about the Saudi Arabia show, right?
Oh, indeed I am.
Oh, thank you, John, for
I've been waiting all episode to set you up with that.
What does this have to do with stolen babies?
It's Saudi Arabia, everything.
Well, yeah. So they just did one of their Saudi blood money shows, and...
I don't need your blood money!
That doesn't matter. Our expenses are good. Is that what you wanted? No, no, no. You got what you wanted. You got what you wanted. I gave you one. That's all I'm giving you. Right. So back to the blood money?
Yeah, back to the blood money. So they did their Saudi blood money show. And everything went off, I guess, fine.
They had a women's match.
They did, yeah.
They were wearing... Well, they're basically just covered.
Very unrevealing outfits.
So they had to wear burkas?
No. Not quite. They did allow their hair out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But otherwise, they're wearing, you know, leggings and armings.
12-year-old Arab boys are going to be jerking off their hair.
And very, very, like, you know, sleep-worthy T-shirts.
Now, I've been inside wrestling schools. Well, a wrestling school. And
was it Killer Kowalski school?
That's in Massachusetts, John.
I don't know that.
Well, it was.
Was it Bruno's school?
Bruno didn't have a school.
Oh.
So anyway.
I had a boxer ears.
So anyway, it looked like a couple of trainees having a match just in front of nobody at like a wrestling school. It didn't look like a real wrestling match. It just looked like trainees going through the motions.
Okay.
But anyway.
But they had it. That's the important thing.
They did have
thing.
It. Yeah, they did have it. And they were told not to be offensive, so they had the most basic match possible. No heat, no nothing, just go through the motions.
Okay.
Anyway, so that wasn't the interesting part of this fucking show.
Did they kiss at the end?
That would have been something, you know. But no, they did hug at the end.
Oh.
They embraced.
And then they got executed for that.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Because when they went to leave, apparently there were mechanical issues, in air quotations, with the plane. The everyone was stuck on the airport tarmac waiting for like 6 hours before they were told to deplane and go back to the hotels. And everybody was like, what the fuck is going on? So apparently I was getting like updates on my phone, buzzing constantly. He's like, oh, we got another update here. Oh, it's mechanical issues. So
wrestler still stranded.
Yeah. It reminded
it's like
me
the
of
Iranian
when...
hostage crisis.
It reminded me of in the late 90s when Vader was imprisoned in Kuwait.
What? Vader?
Yeah,
Vader. Like what did James, he wrestler? James Earl Jones?
Yeah.
Or...
No, Big Van Vader, the
oh,
wrestler.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
okay.
Shit.
Okay.
He was imprisoned in Kuwait for throttling a Kuwaiti journalist.
Oh, throttling?
Did he
yeah,
do it?
Throttling.
What does that mean?
He did it on TV.
Oh.
He grabbed him and, yeah. like...
Oh,
kind of
like
when Dave Schultz slapped John Stossel
oh,
upside
yeah, yeah.
the head.
Oh, okay. Ah. Well, John Stossel deserved it.
He's
probably, yeah.
Well, this Kuwaiti reporter asked the same question.
And got what he deserved.
Vader grabbed him.
So I feel like, now, the WWE trying to make inroads in Saudi Arabia is kind of like when Budweiser tried to appeal to the LGBT community. Like, it just doesn't seem like a smart market to try to break into.
Well,
it,
I mean, the Crown Prince...
You're not, the LGBT people aren't drinking Budweiser, you know? You know, they have much more class than that.
Which means they're either A, hipsters and drinking Pabst.
If Budweiser wants to appeal to the LGBT community, they should make, like, wine that used to be beer. Or vice versa, like turn wine into beer somehow. Like
beer wine.
Get it? Transsexuals, wine. Get it?
Oh, that went over my head. I'm sorry, Jeff, I missed that one.
That's okay.
Ooh.
They're Jeff's resting on the laurels of the Hallmark movie. He's already done his work.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, maybe we should edit that part out because, I mean, the
oh,
the Hallmark
that's right. You're not allowed to bomb.
What? Oh, no. I meant the Hallmark part because I don't want anyone stealing my movie.
Oh, we're not. That's staying in, bud.
Gold, Jeffrey, gold!
I think we should work on a script after we're done with this thing.
Okay. All right, yeah, show me.
But anyway,
afterwards.
Go back to the Saudi
anyway,
Arabia
back
wrestling.
To the, yeah, they were all stuck on the tarmac for like 6 hours. They said the plane had mechanical issues. I kept getting news updates on my phone saying, it's not mechanical issues. We don't know what's going on. The sent all the talent back to the hotels. Vince McMahon has left them, like Napoleon left the starving French soldiers on their death march back from Russia.
Yeah.
He's just abandoned them. Brock Lesnar has left.
Can't get off that plane. That's too goddamn bad.
I was hoping Jeff would do it. I really was.
I know you were.
So like... Some of the people got out, like Vince got out, Hogan got out, Flair got out, but like most of the talent was stuck in Saudi Arabia until this morning when they were finally allowed to leave.
Yeah.
So they did get out of Saudi Arabia.
They left this morning, yeah.
So under what like backwards ridiculous law that Saudi Arabia has, because they have tons of them, did they keep them there?
Apparently it wasn't a mechanical issue with the plane.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, there's actually a Turkish journalist on board that was writing bad things about the Crown Prince.
So apparently what happened is Vince had a dispute with them over money.
He let them like hold the Saudis or the Saudi hold the rest.
He basically got into an argument with I guess the Saudi government since they're the ones subsidizing this shit.
You're $200,000 short, goddammit.
He wanted, I guess, a payment or something, and they didn't want to pay or some shit, so he left and just abandoned his talent.
We had a signed contract. If you don't want to pay me, then you can keep my goddamn wrestlers.
So they all missed the show in Buffalo, those that couldn't get out of the country.
Did Stephanie McMahon make it out safely? Is she still hot?
She didn't even go.
I don't know.
Is that a thing? I haven't.
She's got to be like at least like 40.
She's in her
40s.
But I mean, we're getting to the age where your 40s is still, at least
hot.
For me.
Oh, like, she's 10 years older than us.
Yeah, you can be 40.
Middle-aged women now are attractive to me.
Yeah,
so
she's
I'm okay
10 years
with
older
that.
Than us. So.
Yeah,
she's
all
right.
I'm surprised, like how my standards have changed over the years.
No, exactly. Yeah. As you get older, they get lower.
Right, but the one thing that, like, you were telling me about this,
yeah,
and what it reminded me of is whenever the Beatles were in the Philippines.
Oh yeah.
Now what had happened was with the Beatles, and they described it as whenever we went to the Philippines, they were looking for a fight, and. It was on their like their last world tour. It was one of those situations where like we're not going to fucking do this anymore.
Yeah, what was?
What happened
with this story? Was it a dispute with Epstein over something?
Here's what happened. So Ferdinand Marcos, the dictator, was still in charge, and they had invited the Beatles over to the palace on their day off to have dinner with
Imelda Marcos
and Ferdinand Marcos, whoever was in charge. Dictators. That's all you need to know.
She was the wife.
Dictator and wife. Yeah. And what the Beatles said was, we'd like to, but it's our day off. We don't get many of them, so we're just going to not do it. What the state TV did was, what Imelda Marcos did was they had the places set
and
the camera crews
empty,
there, and so the Beatles still haven't shown up.
How arrogant. Yeah.
They made it seem like the Beatles had went out and out, like, snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As opposed to turning down an invitation, like they just didn't show up. And so what had happened was they're in the hotel. Can we have our papers, please? Because like, they read about themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get the papers. And then so like they got basically just shuffled out. And they get to the airport, and they're getting beat up in the lobby of the airport for snubbing Marcos.
Shouldn't have done
Wasn't
that.
Wasn't it
he was just
Mal
a boy.
Evans and,
just a boy.
And Epstein thought they were going to be executed?
Well, just give me... I'll get okay. there. So they get to the plane, and they're on the plane, and they're kissing the seats of British Airways.
Which no one has ever done, by
and
the way.
And then some like military personnel says... And I'm going to do a George here. Hope that's okay.
Okay, that's fine.
And then military personnel comes on and says, well, Mr. Epstein and Mr. Evans, please come to the front. And Mal, who's a big guy, and he's very sweet, but he was a big guy, and
he was
crying.
The big guy that was on the seat that they were kissing.
And he says...
Sounds like it's a Hallmark movie.
And he says to me, tell Lil that I love her, Lil being his wife at the time. And what had happened was they... took all the money they made off the gig off of them and then sent them on their way. So they basically played in the Philippines for free and got beat up.
Yeah.
But that was like, that was the parallel that I kind of drew
is,
from that.
It is remarkably similar in terms
and
of...
And since I always try to shoehorn the Beatles into their show as much as possible.
I'm sorry.
I figured that was necessary. And so finally, to close out, because we're pushing the usual time.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a celebrity endorsement.
Yeah.
That we cannot talk about.
I know. So why are we even bringing it up?
Because I want to talk about how we can't talk about our celebrity endorsement. But I will say, and something that, you know, as co-writer...
Okay, I've been told... I'll let you get back to your point in a second. I want to go into the reason. I've been told that this person really enjoyed Parts Unknown.
Yay.
Yay.
And this person is currently employed with WWE.
Okay.
And the reason we can't mention their name, or we shouldn't mention their name, is because, like with the Botchamania thing, they like it, but they don't want any publicity from it because it could end up getting our work taken down. So
right.
That's and why we're not naming names.
And we do not want to do that.
Yeah.
So for those of you who listen to this show but haven't heard Parts Unknown,
go listen to Parts Unknown.
I heard it was Dave Coulier.
Well, he is a listener, I think. Maybe not. I don't know.
Who cares? Blow
it's me Dave Coulier. But here's what we do know. Here's what we can tell you is that it is somebody that you've probably, if you're willing to listen to Parts Unknown episode one, then you definitely heard of this guy.
Yeah.
And episode one is up. Episode two is on its way.
Yeah, I'm working on it now.
But it's really hard.
It is really hard because, well, Jeff got the hiccups during the recording and it's a lot of editing.
We don't need to talk about that. All right. No.
We don't want to talk about just performance anxiety.
Performance anxiety. We were on the second episode when I got the hiccups. Yeah. The first one was
the
fine.
First one was all right.
Yeah. But
the second one's taking a bit of work, so I'm working on it now.
So it's
it'll
coming.
Be out soon.
So it'll be there. In the meantime, listen to this.
Yeah.
Listen.
I'll be finishing this one first, and then I'll finish up Parts Unknown. It'll come after this episode.
Right. And so sit tight, cool your tits, whatever you want to say.
It's coming.
It's coming. And so I'm going to close it out. Is that okay?
Go for it, man.
All
go
right.
for it.
So, Mike, thank you for joining us. We hope to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Pretty much next time. Really, and this is a term that that Jeff coined, interim Timmy.
Interim Tim.
You have to make sure you emphasize.
Interim Tim.
Interim Tim.
And the best part about it is now that you're back permanently, and well, so is Tim for the most part, but you know, those
except
5 months
gallivanting
winter,
off
you know,
to Thailand on us.
He's hibernating.
Yeah.
We don't have to record the show around Tim's schedule anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
But I would like to do one. We should try to figure out how to set it up to do
all five.
Or five, whatever.
All five of us.
To get at least a call to Tim, even if it's
just to have a short appearance at least.
Just, yeah, even if it's just for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes or something.
All right, here's a question for you guys.
Yeah.
What do you think the likelihood that Tim will listen to this episode would be? I would say 50-50.
He's knee deep in Lady Boy Snatch
he
right
is.
Now.
He's getting all kind of, you know, 16-year-old type pussy.
We're assuming.
He's in a better place.
That is true.
But thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure and a joy, and we're going to have you back.
Yeah.
Right back at you, gentlemen. I appreciate
all right.
it.
And for Jeff, for Lawrence, I'm going to kick it over to Lawrence.
You just said you wanted to close the show.
You said you wanted to close. I thought.
All right, so on behalf
all right, goodbye.
So on behalf of Mike and Jeff and Lawrence, that's so long, everybody. Bye-bye.